Henceforth thou shalt catch men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Gospel of today's Father's Day has our Lord telling Peter, whose secular profession was a fisherman, henceforth thou shalt catch men. Peter and others were meant to catch souls into the heavenly kingdom, which was prepared for them by the heavenly Father. The first followers of our Lord, they still lived and worked as usual in their occupation. To them, Jesus spoke only in the synagogues on Sabbath days. But then he called Saint Peter and the others to follow him and catch souls. Only later did he make his third and final choice of 12 men who were to be the apostles and the first bishops of his church. Right before this gospel of today, we read from Saint Luke how Jesus went into the synagogue of his hometown Nazareth. There he took the book of prophet Isaiah, read from it, and then started to preach. This was, in fact, the first sermon Jesus ever preached publicly. The people were wondering, why is this man preaching? He is only the son of Joseph the carpenter. But Jesus then revealed that the time of salvation was now at hand, that he is the Messiah, and that both the Israelites and the pagans were now to be made God's people. The covenant of race would be turned into the covenant of grace. When the people in the synagogue heard this sermon, they were filled with anger. They threw Jesus out of Nazareth and even tried to kill him. Today, Jesus calls his followers to do the same what he himself was doing and had done, to save souls. But he knew that not everyone who hears the words of God would heed to them. If our Lord had tried to win over the people, he would have preached something like, "Let's drive the Romans out of our country, destroy the pagan temples, and make Israel great again." This kind of fishing of popularity instead of souls is what is often referred to as preaching to the choir. Preaching to the choir means trying to convince your listeners of something they already agree with. At the heart of it is the irony of seeking to convince people who need no convincing. The choir is usually made up of regular and involved churchgoers who do the singing. So if you are preaching to the choir, you are speaking to those who are already on board with your message, perhaps more than anyone else. I can give you an example from the recent events in the Novus Ordo Church. There has been lots of reporting in the trad world about Leo XIV and his bishops' visits in the Islamic mosques, and the scandalous things they have spoken in them. If I wanted to make this sermon a preaching to the choir sermon, I would have told you something like that for a Catholic it is a scandal to pray with the Muslims. It's an apostasy to say that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, and would declare how horrible persecutions the Muslims have done against Catholics. All this is true. After the sermon, I would probably get some pats on the back from you, and maybe a couple of praising online comments like, "Father really mortified those modernists." But what if someone who is not a traditional Catholic would listen that sermon? A Novus Ordite would probably only say something like, "So the Pope prays with the Muslims, so what? Past is past and now is now." And if a Muslim would hear that sermon, he either would completely shrug it off or become very angry. This would be a textbook example of preaching to the choir, persuading people who don't need persuading. So even though getting flattering comments after preaching to the choir, which, let's be honest, feels great, it's all perhaps a little pointless. If you are a follower of Jesus who wants to fish souls, you could try a different kind of an approach. For example, you can start from the Baltimore Catechism question, "What is the chief teaching of the Catholic Church about Jesus Christ?" And the answer is, "The chief teaching of the Catholic Church about Jesus Christ is that he is God made man." Then you can point out to what the Quran, the book of the Muslims, says about Jesus. This book claims clearly that Jesus is not the Son of God, only Son of Mary, and a mere messenger of God, like the prophets before him were. Then you can point out that in the Bible, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And to the opening words of St. John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Finally, point out that it is therefore impossible that Catholics and Muslims could worship the same God. So there has to be something seriously wrong with these ecumenical meetings. It is the priests and bishops who are set over the souls of the faithful. You are not bound to seek the salvation of souls except that of your own and those who are you are in charge of. But if you, out of charity, seek to help your priests to catch souls into the church, my advice is that you speak your words to the souls in need of conversion instead of preaching to the choir. Do you take into consideration that someone, maybe a non-Catholic, an atheist, or a Muslim, might click your video, read your social media post, or start to talk with you at the airport just out of curiosity? Do you consider that the few minutes what that person spends listening to you, reading your post, or talking with you might be the only chance you'll ever get to convince him that God lives and Christ is his Redeemer? Or do you consider that those few minutes might be the only time what God grants to that person to convert? Even if you don't make a convert right away, when you keep it simple and straight to the point, the person can get the grace of conversion later and will remember your words. Sometimes it's good and even necessary to talk about difficult subjects such as modernism, but most people you meet do not have a doctorate in sacred theology. They usually simply want to know, as the rich young man in the Bible, "Good Master, what good work shall I do to have eternal life?" This is what priests are ordered to preach. In its decree on Reformation, the Council of Trent ordered that the pastors must feed the people committed to them with wholesome words according to their own capacity and that of their people. And Saint Alphonsus Liguori, who is doctor of the church, said, "I have never preached a sermon which the simplest member of the congregation could not understand." Finally, a note for this Father's Day. Priest is called Father because he is a minister. By giving sacraments, he begets faithful souls to heaven. So appreciate his work and pray for him. You don't need to be flattering in your expressions of thanks to your priest by saying how learned and holy he is. A word of good cheer and a simple thank you, these pay much better than flattery. Of course, Father is happy if people appreciate his work and his preaching. But the best feedback what a priest can get is to see his faithful line up for confession and communion, because that is the only feedback which in the end actually matters. And if you do help your priests in catching souls, at least that of your own, then come true the words of Saint John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.